Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
What up? Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 59. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude-a!
Dude, it's still the summertime, but we got lots to talk about. But first, I want to start off with a little bit of blog business.
Okay.
As you posted on blog business and podcast business.
Okay.
As you posted on the blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com.
Thank you, dude.
We are now on Facebook.
We are. We've officially sold out.
I don't know if we sold out. I'd like to say we've modernized our branding. Yeah, we're on Facebook. So if you want to go and search for Dudes on Hockey Podcast on Facebook, you can become a fan. What that will actually get for you in real life, I have no earthly idea. What does that get you?
It's a way for you to communicate with other fans of Dudes on Hockey and talk about how much we suck.
Agreed. As if there weren't enough forums for that already.
No, it's a way, another way for you to communicate with us and other fans, and a way for us to talk to each other throughout the season, not just on the podcast, but another form of talking about Sharks hockey, dude. It can't be bad.
Can't be bad. It's social networking, which is always, always good.
Beautiful thing, dude.
So the next question is, when are we going to start Twitter, dude? When are we going to start a Twitter?
Dude, feed? I have a big announcement.
Oh, no.
I am not Twittering.
Good, good. I have the same announcement.
I'm afraid that someone will hack into my Twitter.
Yes, because that would be awful. So terrible. Then they would post tiny, tiny messages in your name. Whatever would we do with ourselves? So don't.
Today, Doug is not looking at hockeybuzz.com.
Yeah. How are you doing with
dude,
that?
Dude, I'm on the wagon.
How long have you been on the wagon?
It's been 5 days.
5 days you haven't
five
looked
days.
At Hockey Buzz.
That's true.
Dude, congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a chip for you. I have a little chip.
No, I got to make it a bigger step than that.
Really?
Yeah. You got to at least, you know, let's talk next week. Let's
dude,
see if I make
it. It's one day at a time, man. You deserve kudos.
I don't even know why I go. It's like, you know, some people drink too much. Some people do heroin. Artie. I look at Hockey Buzz Artie. Because I'm starved for hockey rumors, dude, but I'm done. I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm out.
You're a better man than I.
Because you still look.
Well, you know, I get the feed. I get the RSS feed. So I look at the title and then I very, very rarely ever click on the actual article and read it. So I wouldn't say I'm addicted to it. It's just it comes along in my daily life, but I don't spend an inordinate amount of time.
Cold turkey.
On that site.
I'm going cold gobble, dude.
I'm completely addicted to Puck Prospectus. And so to all of those out there who is reading Tom Awad's latest series of articles on goals versus threshold, the ability to rate players across both position and era, I certainly advise you to read those articles. They're math-tastic.
Dude, 10 people just turned off the podcast.
Tons of calculations. Man, you would love it.
You're such a nerd.
I know. It's brutal. But, dude, there is big Sharks news, and it's something that we sort of figured would happen. I'd like to say I saw this coming, but JR is going to have a press conference on Thursday. Everybody expects he's going to announce his retirement. The era of Jeremy Roenick has come to an end. And are you going to crash that presser or what?
Dude, I was thinking about walking down there. You suggested that I put on like a trench coat, a little hat with like the old press sign in the fedora. And
yeah.
Sign. Like,
should.
I'm in the press. Let me in here, dude.
You're like, hey, JR, what do you think, see?
JR, I got a question for you, see? What do you say about going back to Blackhawks, giving it one more go round? See? Do it for the kids, JR. No, I'll be watching it on Comcast Sports.
Yeah.
Like all the other hockey nerds at home. But, dude, you know.
It's time.
And if you were JR right now, would you come back to the current status? I mean, nothing's changed.
It's true.
You know, so.
Might get some playing time. they sure ditched a lot of guys.
That's true. I have a feeling that he probably made up his mind a long time ago, just wanted to think on it for a while.
I always sort of wonder about the timing of this kind of stuff. I mean, why wouldn't he do this a few weeks ago?
He might have wanted to think on it, dude. You know, I mean, it's a major decision. And as we know in pro sports, this is not necessarily permanent.
Yeah.
JR could change his mind in 4 months and end up skating on someone's third or fourth line.
Or he could be playing quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
Dude, but you got to think JR has some sort of huge future in broadcasting, right?
Or in the front office or something. Although you'd think maybe his mouth would get him into trouble.
I would think that that probably would be
pretty
accurate.
At the very least, he should have some sort of radio program.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, he could be a huge star on the Hockey Network. God knows they need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be shocked to see him on ESPN or Versus or something like that. You know, he's a huge personality. And, you know, whatever JR does in life, I'm sure he'll be successful. And it was a pleasure to have him as part of the organization for 2 years, dude.
Yeah, it was nice. Hall of Famer, no doubt. Great to have him there. Great personality. Great guy.
Too bad we couldn't give him the cup he deserved.
That's true. That's true. So, dude, I think, are we doing the show backwards this week?
We are, in a way. But
in a way?
In a way we are because, you know, the topics dictate it, dude.
Yeah.
Because right now we're about to.
Just kidding. I'm going
off the rails on a crazy trade.
First of all, results from last week. My Yarkover 2 trade garnered some scorn from some listeners. It is called Crazy Trade. Need I remind you all? Yeah, it was a little crazy, and I won again.
Congrats, dude.
So this week, I'm going to abstain because you have a crazy trade that is going to warrant some discussion, and also it ties into a lot of the rumors and news. Rumors so thick and heavy, it is now on TSN. It's on most major sports networks, and that is this whole thing about Danny Heatley. So you have a crazy trade with Danny Heatley?
I do. Well, you know, the teams that keep kind of be banding about right now with the Sharks, and it's not just on, you know, websites that I'm abstaining from.
Yeah.
But it's in legitimate, you know, news sources where people are talking about the Sharks being linked to Boston.
Yeah, that's
with
right.
Phil Kessel.
Yeah, that was a very interesting
The Sharks
idea.
Being linked with Montreal and mm-hmm. the Sharks being linked with Ottawa. So, you know, I thought to myself, well, why the hell not? Could these things all have something to do with each other?
So you got like a four-team deal?
Dude.
Oh my God.
I've got a four-team deal.
This already is crazy.
Dude, anything's possible at this point, you know? And
Sharks get Kessel, Krejci, Alfredson, Heatley, and Zdeno Chara.
This is the thing, dude. This is the thing.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Doug Wilson says he wants to do a major roster turnover. Mm-hmm. So this is crazy. Mm. I'm the first to admit it's crazy, and I'm taking a wild stab in the dark, dude. But here we go.
Go for it, dude. Bring it.
The first move is the Sharks make this awaited deal with Montreal.
Yeah. Marlo?
The Sharks trade Chichu and Erhoff, which I've read that they're interested in that package.
Okay.
Chichu and Erhoff, and in return, they get Plekanec, Halak, and O'Byrne, the famous trio.
Ryan O'Byrne,
the guy who put the puck in his own net.
Isn't he the guy that got arrested for like picking someone's pocket too? Or is that somebody else? There's one guy who got like busted for purse snatching on that team.
I kind of hope it's him.
Me too. Okay.
So here's the deal. So now the Sharks have no need for Plekanec, correct? So then they turn around and they trade Plekanec and O'Byrne and a second round pick to Boston for Phil Kessel. So that's really a three-way trade with Montreal.
Plekanec who?
Plekanec, O'Byrne, and a second round pick for Kessel. Because Boston's in major salary cap trouble, just like you know we are. Well, they're worse.
Yeah.
I mean, they're over by $4.8 million. So you know they really need to get rid of some salary. But also, in the same way, you know, now they just be taking on salary, too. So they have more trades to make. Now, I was trying to figure out a way here, you know, to, you know, Mark Savard's at the end of his deal. I was trying to figure out a way to get him to Ottawa, and I couldn't.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, really, you know, this Boston trade has a lot of other factors involved that, you know, Marco Sturm being traded somewhere else. You know, you look at their roster, Sturm's probably the guy who's got to go.
They say he's available.
You know, I think they might end up having to trade Mark Savard. They might have to trade Tuukka Rask. He's making $3.2 million, dude, for a guy sitting on the bench. That's a pretty big problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the Sharks then turn around and make a separate deal. So they're not all tied together. I've been sitting here working on this for 40 minutes. The Sharks get Heatley and trade Mahalik and Murray.
Okay.
To Mahalik Ottawa.
And Murray. Okay.
Okay. And so then in the end, the Sharks end up adding Kessel, Heatley, and Halak.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. In the end, it looks pretty good. Now, I know people right now are probably going, hey, that's a great idea. Or, hey,
you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Yeah.
So, thank you. So you certainly can weigh in on the poll question. Let us know what you think. I think it is pretty crazy, but you know, why is this taking so long, dude? And what's your gut tell you right now?
My gut tells me is that, well, from what they said, I mean, the rumor is, and I have no idea how true it is that Doug Wilson offered Chichu and Erhoff for Heatley. And Brian Murray told him to, you know, go jump in the lake, which, you know, that's Doug Wilson trying to make a Joe Thornton 2 trade, basically. That's trying to get a guy who, you know,
as he should.
Glass half full, Chichu could score 30 goals and be a great player on the top line with Alfredson. Glass half empty, Chichu's been way disappointing the last 2 years, may not ever get it back, right? So that's a huge risk. And then, you know, Erhoff is someone I think they supposedly wanted, but that's not a lot of value. The one thing that's interesting, actually, that I might focus on is the Kessel thing, because I heard that they wanted a, quote, young roster player, a prospect, and a first-round pick.
So isn't that Kessel. What you're getting here with Plekanec, O'Byrn, and you're getting a second. You're not getting a first. The Sharks, I mean, the other thing in this is that, you know, I also read that, you know, they want a first-round pick for Heatley. Is Doug Wilson really going to trade another first-round pick, too?
You know, I like Doug Wilson. If he trades another first-round pick, you know, I said, what is it, 2 weeks ago that I'm not happy with the way he's done trade deadline deals. I'm just not. If he gets rid of another first-round pick, then that's going to make me decidedly unpleased.
So maybe he's trying to get a pick from someone else.
It's possible. Yeah.
So maybe he's telling Montreal, look, I don't want your players.
Yeah.
I want a pick. You can have, you know, Chichu and Erhoff, but I want a first.
Yeah.
And one other roster player, and maybe he's going to spin that off.
Could.
It's possible that that could be what's happening here, or maybe he'll keep Montreal's pick and trade his own. Could probably be better.
Yeah. I think that's a crazy want for Kessel. He'll never get that. A first-round pick is way too valuable right now with the salary cap era to get a young player, which I guess supposedly means cheap. A prospect obviously will be cheap, and a first-round pick for Kessel ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Boston has major problems, dude.
Yeah.
Really big problems as far as looking at their roster, seeing that they're almost $5 million over the cap. Now, of course, in my trade suggestion, I've just suggested that they add another $3 million. So, you know, maybe I'm the moron here.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to move a major player. Yeah. You look at their roster, you know, no one's going to take 2 years of Paris concussion Bergeron.
Yeah.
No one's going to take Michael Ryder. They just signed David Krejci.
Yeah. That's a good sign, though.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the other half of this thing. So so we did the crazy trade. It's pretty crazy.
It is pretty crazy.
And so I'll have like levels of crazy in the poll question this week, since I don't have a crazy trade, since I'm obviously the victor in the crazy trade.
So what are the levels you give it? A crazy, insane, or downright batty?
Okay. How about that? I'll do that.
What do you, where do you classify it, dude?
I'm going to go insane, close to downright batty.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I want to hear what you all think. The other half of this is a article that was written by, who is it? Bruce Garrioch?
Yeah.
He's the guy who said that Evgeny Malkin was getting traded to the Kings. Anyway, he's writing about this Heatley thing. And he says that Doug Wilson is under more pressure than Brian Murray to make this deal. Do you agree with that?
No. No, I don't. I think that Brian Murray's in a bad spot. Heatley is, by all media reports, which we know are not always true, but by all reports, is misbehaving here.
Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to be the captain. He's not. He won't talk to Alfredson. He didn't go to Spetz's wedding.
Yeah.
He's being difficult.
He's mad about ice time. He's this and that.
So I can't see how on any planet they can bring him back. He can't come back. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
He can't come back. So, you know, you've got a general manager and Doug Wilson who's sitting there going, I have the same team, basically, minus some guys who were no good and not helpful, that won, you know, was the best regular season team in the league. You know, I think he's still in a position of strength.
I was going to try and take devil's advocate position here. I honestly just can't. I'll make this slightly different point. Doug Wilson is under pressure here. He's not necessarily under pressure to trade for Danny Heatley. But make no mistake, he's under pressure. He's under pressure to make something happen. I mean, he got rid of a bunch of guys. He got rid of Greer and Gotch and all these guys. Fine, whatever. His job is to make the team better. You know, something that our friend Scott said in an email last week, which maybe we didn't quite get to, is, do you think the Sharks have to make this trade now? In 2 years, the Sharks could be rebuilding, right? After this year, Marlowe could be gone.
They've got almost $20 million in cap room after that.
Year after that, Thornton could be gone.
So it's possible that if this year it really doesn't work out, there could be a giant stick of TNT taken to this team, and it might not be taken to it by Doug Wilson.
That's exactly right. So make no mistake, I think he's under some pressure here. I mean, if he makes Heatley is an obvious, I mean, that's a job buster, right? If it works out, then he's great. If it doesn't work out, he's going to get fired.
We've said that. The chips are in. If he trades for Heatley, whether we think it's good or bad, there's no questioning that. This is job on the line moment here.
Yes, absolutely. So what's your gut tell you? Crazy trade aside, pressure aside, what's the over under? What's the percentage over under you think that some Heatley deal will happen with the San Jose Sharks?
Dude, at the beginning, I think it was probably a month ago, we could find tape of me saying there was a 0% chance that Heatley was going to be a Shark.
Yeah.
I'm going to say now there's a 70% chance.
70.
I think it's a 70% chance.
Wow.
Because I think that there is a lot of truth to the fact that San Jose might be the only dance partner here for this type of deal.
Well, I think there's no doubt about that.
They're the only ones who might be willing. The points that have been made online, Ross McKeon for Yahoo in the article we read just before we started taping today, he said, that Heatley and Joe have international success together. There is that family tie between the Sharks and Heatley that we already know about, where, someone was,
Heatley's GM's
dad's
brother,
roommate.
In-law,
Okay, but you know what? I mean, if they know each other, he wants to come here. He likes California. He is a great player. Doug Wilson decides it's time to make that risk. But it's going to be for the right price,
I'm taking the under.
Okay.
I'll take the under. I mean, that's a bold statement. I've said it before. He's as much, if not more, of an unknown as Joe Thornton in the playoffs. We have an email to that effect later in the show. People say Joe can't produce in the playoffs. Who knows that Heatley's going to produce here? Who knows that maybe Heatley's going to want to be the captain in 6 months?
Sure.
Maybe Heatley's going to ask for another trade. So
I'm not rooting for it. No, I don't want it to happen.
Okay.
You just said that. Do I think it's going to happen?
It's intoxicating, though, don't you think?
Oh, sure. It would. Everybody would definitely be excited again.
Yeah.
Either there would be a lot of drama. We would be excited. Give us a lot to talk about, for sure. And the thought of seeing Seto and Joe and Heatley on the top line running around could be the best top line in the league, for sure. So we'll see. Or maybe, who knows what's going to happen, dude. But now I'm just thinking that, Doug Wilson may have played this exactly the way he wants it, dude. He's got Ottawa backed completely in the corner. Brian Murray, Edmonton is vowing to not get Danny Heatley, and they've gone public.
Yeah.
I know everything's gone public, that the Sharks are the only ones, and Ottawa is now, standing in the corner going, crap.
Guys.
I'm in trouble, And, maybe he changes the offer from, Chichu and Erhoff to Mahalik and Erhoff.
That's a big difference, though.
It is a big difference, but also on the flip side of that, then instead, if you keep Mahalik and Heatley, then you've got two wingers making, almost $12 million combined signed for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's true. From a contract perspective.
It's a big difference talent-wise, but it's also a big difference contract-wise.
All right, dude, let's get to the email. Adam emailed us again. Good email, Adam. We're not going to be able to read every bit of it.
Thorough.
Very thorough. But he made two major points, both of which I want to talk about. First, San Jose was pretty bad 5-on-5 offense last year. Isn't mentioned that often, but according to the stats behind the net, San Jose had 141 goals, 5-on-5 last year. Phoenix also had 141. We're using NHL.com, Adam. We get slightly different numbers, but it's pretty close. San Jose, 21st. I'm just counting 5-on-5 and 4-on-4 goals, according to NHL.com. San Jose was 21st in the league in even strength goals.
Not good.
Not good. Behind such teams, such wonderful teams as the Florida Panthers, the Buffalo Sabres, the Dallas Stars, the Atlanta Thrashers, you know, Edmonton Oilers. I mean, Sharks behind all these teams in even strength goals. Anyway, so the question is, what's the problem? How do we get there? What's the deal with 5-on-5? Do you have an answer?
Yeah, I think I have an answer, dude. I think it's the thing that we've been talking about all along, that the Sharks third and fourth line players last year sucked.
Yeah.
There was no production.
Don't mince words, dude. Tell us how you really feel.
There was no production from them on the offensive end. If you look at, you know, the Sharks, 146 goals, you said, even strength, 98 of them were scored by Marlowe, Seto, Mahalik, Joe, Pavs, and Klo.
That's top six.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the Sharks had 40, let's see, wait, theater major doing math, 48 even strength goals scored by everybody else.
Yeah.
Compared to Detroit, who had 67 even strength goals scored by their players other than their top six. Boston had 75 from their third and fourth line players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big difference. Calgary, 71. Dude, Toronto, 75.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so when, you know, the Sharks are getting nothing, they're not getting any great defensive play, and they're not getting any offensive support from their third and fourth lines. Danger. Danger, Todd McLellan and Doug Wilson. Dude, what are we going to do about this?
I don't know. To be fair, the top six also are not performing. It's not like the top six of Detroit and the top six of the Sharks are scoring the same number of even strength goals and Detroit just crushes us in the other areas. I mean, yeah. San Jose has, what, 91 even strength goal? Or you said 98?
98.
From the top six, and Detroit is almost 120. Boston is 107 or 106, and Calgary is about 105.
But also, to be fair, I mean, that really didn't matter, did it?
No.
We still were the best team in the regular season.
Right.
So,
and if you look at the year before, the number one team in even strength goals was Ottawa, so oops.
Oops.
Yeah. So, anyway, and that wasn't the year that they went to the cup final.
I think it does highlight the weakness. One of the things that we've been saying for weeks now, no one seems to be listening other than our listeners, that the Sharks still need help on the third and fourth line.
That's right. Okay, so Adam's second point, it's a good point. Adam's second point basically talks about how Joe sucks in the playoffs. Not to put too fine a point on it, but it's much more nuanced than that. Adam was saying that, you know, he only has 6 goals in 41 playoff games, and that's not very good compared to almost everybody. Spezza, 34 games, 12 goals. Nicholas Backstrom, 21 games, 7 goals. Even Marlowe has more. So what's the deal with Joe in the playoffs? Is this, you know, which is coming first here, the chicken or the egg? I mean, this is the question I'm trying to ask myself. So, Adam, I'm merging your question into, rather than a statement about how Joe isn't good in the playoffs, too, which is it? Is it the Sharks are bad, not very good in the playoffs, haven't had a lot of success, therefore the whole team doesn't do well, including Joe? Or is it Joe's not doing well in the playoffs, therefore the team is not winning? Which is it? I mean, it's...
Can it be both?
Yeah, I suppose.
Because...
That's so wishy-washy. Pick one.
Well, dude, I mean, unfortunately, I don't think that the team should be built around Joe Thornton must do everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's unrealistic, and we see, you know, the team that won this year, the Pittsburgh Penguins, have two of the best players, two of the top 10 players in the league, correct?
Two of the top 3 players.
Two of the top 3 players in the league.
Right.
And they didn't even win the game, game 7.
Right.
They played well, but they didn't score the game winners. The supporting cast did. And I got to go back to that. I'm belaboring this point to you that, you know, Joe Thornton can't do it alone. He's got to have guys on his wings who can score, and he's got to get support so that, you know, if the third and fourth line, you know, Marcel Gotch, they're on the bench going, gosh, you know, we could probably not put anybody out on the ice and Gotch probably still won't score.
You're right.
You know, so they're just going to key on playing their top defensive pairing against Joe Thornton every single time. If you shut down Joe, you shut down the Sharks, and that they've got to fix that as far as how the roster performs and the supporting cast has to help him.
That's a good point. And I wonder how much that factors in as well, right? I mean, he said Getzlaff owned Joe. There's no question. Getzlaff owned Joe in that series. Six-game series. Anything can happen. Joe didn't play well. Getzlaff did. Joe had one good game. Getzlaff had six. What can you do? I mean, he wasn't up to par. But when all of your efforts as a team is to go against one guy, most of the time, you're going to be pretty successful. Unless you're absolute all-world talent. Unless you're Alexander Ovechkin or Evgeny Malkin or one of these guys that's absolute top. Joe is not that guy. He's not the $10 million a year, build a franchise around for 30 years guy. He's a great player, a superstar, but he's just not in that, I can make everything happen on my own. Joe needs help. He needs other people around him to do things. And, you know, because he's a guy that distributes the puck to people that score. And so if you key all your stuff on shutting down Joe Thornton, guess what? You know, if you're in a playoff team and you put all of your efforts into shutting that guy down, you're gonna succeed. What you're hoping is that Patrick Marleau or Joe Pavelski start scoring goals, and then the team has to think twice and then move resources around to stop those guys. Guess what? That didn't happen. So it worked.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Here's my question. If we traded Getzlaff for Joe Thornton, would that have changed anything in that series?
I don't know. Maybe.
You think so?
I don't think we would. Would we have won the series? No.
Okay. So. If you put Joe Thornton on the Detroit Red Wings and we had Henrik Zetterberg, would we have won the series?
No.
Okay. If you put Joe Thornton on the Penguins and we had Sidney Crosby, would we have won the series?
No.
Joe Thornton would be raising a Stanley Cup right now.
Yeah.
Because he'd have a great team playing around him. Sharks just weren't able to deliver that, dude. Yeah. So I still think Joe gets a little bit of an unfair shake as far as, you know, one guy can't do everything.
Yeah.
He can't do it alone.
All right, dude, we're going to do the East because last week we did the West in terms of how teams did in the offseason so far. Remember, we have a very scientific three-point scale.
Let's remind our listeners.
Lowest level.
Dude.
Means team didn't do very good. We're not happy with the moves they made. Second.
Dude.
Could be good.
Okay.
In the middle. Or.
Yeah.
Teams did very good.
Okay.
Okay, so we're starting. We're doing the East here. Starting the Atlantic. New Jersey Devils. Dude, this is great. They got Jan Danis. No. They let Brian Gionta go. Brian Gionta's gone. Devils, as they are wont to do, didn't make a lot of moves. So,
dude,
it's middle of the road. You know, they didn't make any dumb moves. You know, I think they could be sort of in the Sharks camp. They didn't go out and sign anybody for $1 billion. Brian Gionta got a lot of money from Montreal. So they didn't make that mistake, if you want to call that a mistake. And so they're par for the course. Fine. They're going to be the same team. I mean, maybe they'll have a little more trouble scoring, but they'll be fine. They'll make the playoffs, I think.
They've got a lot of cap room. They can go out and make a late move, too.
That's true.
I got the New York Islanders, dude.
Oh, fantastic.
I got the New York Islanders. Made the big, splashy draft pick of John Tavares. Gary Bettman was making a pitch for the Lighthouse Project today, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that Rick DiPietro is maybe out much longer than they're letting on, dude. So they signed Biron and Rolison. But,
dude,
I think things are looking up on the island as far as at least there's going to be some fan interest there.
Yeah, okay. I got the Rangers. I agree with that. I got the Rangers. They got Gaborik, paid a lot of money for Gaborik. We've talked about that a long time. That's a lot of money, $7.5 million, right? They got rid of Gomez, though, which was maybe one of the worst contracts in the NHL. The Zhirdev saga finally came to an end. They went to arbitration. His arbitration award was almost $4 million, and the Rangers smartly, in my view, declined. And they did sign Alex Kotelik. So I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there because I thought Gomez was a good. He didn't meet expectations at the Garden. And they got a great player in Gaborik. If he works out, they're going to look like geniuses.
Yeah, but if he plays 30 games, they're going to look like morons.
It's high risk, high reward.
That's true. Philadelphia Flyers, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love what they did. They may spend the entire game in the penalty box, but you got to like the upside of this team. And I think Pittsburgh's going to be looking over their shoulder with Pronger. And then they've got two young stars in Giroux and the other guy,
Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, Van Riemsdyk. Yes, the Van Riemsdyk guy.
Yeah,
number
two overall pick. All right, dude. I got Pittsburgh. They lost Rob Scuderi. They got Jay McKee as a replacement. I don't know if that's really an upgrade. They re-signed Bill Guerin, Ruslan Fedotenko.
Dude.
it's okay. Not great. Oh. Maybe at the low end, but I mean, it would be nice if they could have gotten Scuderi, but Kings gave him a pretty good chunk of change, and they got McKee, which is a pretty good fill-in. So good for Pittsburgh, not awesome.
Yeah, I would have given him a higher grade, dude.
Okay.
The Boston Bruins, dude, they, as we said before, they're nearly $5 million over the cap. They've kind of painted themselves in the corner besides Chara and Weidman. Their defense looks pretty bad.
Dude.
I'm wow. down on the Bruins, dude.
You are down.
I think that their roster is pretty stellar, but they're going to have to part with some significant pieces in order to get under the cap.
Okay, that means I got Buffalo. Spachik signed elsewhere. Neumannin, news just came out, they retired. They didn't do anything else.
Dude.
Buffalo is standing pat on their non-playoff team.
And we had this conversation last year when you picked them to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not going to make that mistake again.
I said, way to keep that non-playoff team together.
Yeah. That's what they're doing again. So we'll see how that turns out. I'm sure it's going to be like opposite year and I'll be wrong again.
Dude, Montreal Canadiens, they signed Camilleri.
They signed
traded for Gomez. They signed Travis Moon. They signed Gionta. They signed Spachik. They signed Hal Gill. They get a... Come on, dude. Dude, these moves are very strange. And I don't think they got any better. It's certainly different.
Yeah. I'll give him that.
Okay,
I got Ottawa. The Healy thing, I don't think it's Ottawa's fault. I mean, I guess you could say it was their fault for trading for him, I guess. But they signed Kovalev, and they let Alex Auld get away. How could they? Alexei Kovalev?
Yeah.
Just based on that, I can't like Alexei Kovalev.
No, that's very strange.
I can't be that happy about that. So
that's another thought, dude, sort of backtracking a little bit. You know, if Plekanec is involved in this San Jose talk, they could be spinning him to Ottawa. They did play together.
Could
so
happen.
Maybe that's the thinking there. I've got Toronto. they added a ton of D. They added Komisarek. They added Boschman. They added Garnet Exelby. They signed the monster. Yeah! I like what's going on there. Yeah. You know, there certainly isn't a lot of things going on as far as scoring, but, you know, Brian Burke's being Brian Burke, and you know he's got something up his sleeve. He's going to make a trade. He's dealing with a position of strength there with some assets. I think they're in good shape.
Yep. Okay, I got Atlanta. They re-signed Colby Armstrong and Leitanen. They signed Nick Antropov in the free agent market, and they traded for Pavel Kabina.
Yeah!
You know, Atlanta's not that good of a team, but I kind of like what they did here. Sure, they traded Exelby, but I like the two signings. I like the trade. I like the re-signings. Are they going to be awesome? No, but they got better. That's the most you can hope for.
Dude, they're my secret playoff team next year.
Oh,
Dude, we're going to get to that when we get to that later in the year.
I'm already laughing.
Okay, we'll have a gentleman's bet.
Okay,
we'll wait for all the moves to be played out. But, dude, you look at their division and you tell me that it's not possible.
Okay? You got Carolina.
All right, okay. I've got Carolina. You know, they trade for Aaron Ward. They sign Andrew Alberts. They buy out Caberle and they trade Patrick Eves. You know?
Dude.
And they kind of basically keep it together as far as a team that had a very impressive run last year. They add Tom Kostopoulos as well. That's kind of a shoulder shrugger to me.
Yeah.
I think Carolina overachieved.
Florida, they re-signed David Booth, but they let Bomeister get away. They didn't trade him at the deadline. Actually, this is the reason they get a...
Dude.
They didn't have a GM. So Jacques Martin left, and they didn't have some... I still don't think they really have a GM in place. They don't have a management team there. That is not very smart. There's a lot of players in the market right now. Florida, if they played their cards right, they could have gotten some good talent. They still could, actually. But for not being prepared for this free agent season and not making a lot of moves, they don't get a good grade.
Tampa Bay, dude, they had one of the worst defense teams in the league. So instead, they went out and got Victor Hedman. They got Matthias Olund. They signed Matt Walker from the Blackhawks. They got David Hale. They signed Curtis Foster. They have Matt Smaby and a host of other characters there. So right now they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 defensemen. Dude, they are borderline special.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, you know,
Pendulum swung a little bit too far the other side this time.
Way to go. Good job, Brian Lawton.
All right, Washington. Kozlov and Fedorov went to the KHL Russia. I don't know if that's really Washington's fault. They get Nick Schultz, and they sign Mike Knubel.
Dude.
I like Washington. Knubel and AO together, that could be pretty sweet.
Yep.
It's not awesome. They didn't make a huge splash there, but I like the Knubel signing. I think Washington is easily going to be as good this year.
Sure. Not as good as Philly and Pittsburgh.
All right, dude, we're running out of time, so I'm going to wrap up the show. Thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey. Check out our blog. Check out the Facebook page. Check out the Twitter. Oh, wait, no, we're not doing Twitter. But check us out on the web and send us emails if you want us to answer or comment on anything. And we'll be back again, of course, next week. Same time, same place.
Don't forget to grade the crazy trade.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.